Let's turn our congregation to the reading of God's holy and inspired word, and we read it from three places, but mainly from the book of Exodus. And so our main portion of scripture is from Exodus 30. Exodus chapter 30. We'll be reading in this chapter verses 1 through 10, and then I'll be turning right away to Hebrews chapter 7 for a few verses, as well as to the book of Revelation. A few verses from Revelation chapter 8 as indicated in your bulletins. So first of all then, let's listen here to God's word in Exodus 30, where God continues to give Moses instructions as to the building of the tabernacle and its furnishings. You shall make an altar on which to burn incense. You shall make it of acacia wood. A cubit shall be its length, and a cubit its breadth. It shall be square, and 2 cubits shall be its height. Its horn shall be of one piece with it. You shall overlay it with pure gold, its top and around its sides and its horns. And you shall make a molding of gold around it. And you shall make 2 golden rings for it. Under its molding, on 2 opposite sides of it, you shall make them, and they shall be holders for poles with which to carry it. You shall make the poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. And you shall put it in front of the veil that is above the ark of the testimony, in front of the mercy seat that is above the testimony, where I will meet with you. And Aaron shall burn fragrant incense on it. Every morning when he dresses the lamps, he shall burn it. And when Aaron sets up the lamps at twilight, he shall burn it, a regular incense offering before the Lord throughout your generations. You shall not offer unauthorized incense on it, or a burnt offering, or a grain offering, and you shall not pour a drink offering on it. Aaron shall make atonement on its horns once a year with the blood of the sin offering of atonement. He shall make atonement for it once in the year throughout your generations. It is most holy to the Lord. So we'll be dealing this morning with that altar of incense. And now just a few verses from Hebrews chapter 7, verses 23 to 25. You can just listen to these, where the author writes, the former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he, that is Christ, holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. And then lastly this morning, also a few verses from the book of Revelation chapter 8. Reading verses 1 through 4 of chapter 8 of Revelation. And here God's word reads as follows. When the Lamb opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. Then I saw the 7 angels who stand before God, and 7 trumpets were given to them. And another angel came and stood at the altar with a golden censer, and he was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints rose before God from the hand of the angel. May God add his blessing as we reflect upon his word this morning on these various passages that speak of the truth that is contained in this particular item in the tabernacle, the altar of incense. And dear people of God, if there's one area of our Christian life where I believe we fall the most short oftentimes, it is in the practice of daily and sincere prayer to God. You know, we can be so inconsistent in our prayer habit. At certain times, on certain days, we can be very close to God in prayer. And then again, other times and other days, our prayer life falls kind of by the wayside. Our prayer may be reduced maybe to just a brief sentence or two, uttered rather quickly and rotely, which can hardly really be considered a sincere prayer. In times of trial and need, we automatically pray more often and intensely. But then when the trial is over, the storm is past, and the sea becomes calm and placid again, we fall so easily back into praying lethargy. You know how hard it is, really, for all of us to maintain a vital, vibrant, daily communion with God in prayer. Well, this morning, we look to the Holy Spirit and His Word to remind us and to rekindle in us a sense of the importance of earnest prayer to God. And we'll do so by looking at an object or piece of furniture in the Old Testament tabernacle which symbolized and spoke of prayer and supplication, the altar of incense. You recall from our study of the tabernacle thus far, each piece of furniture that God ordered, built, and placed in the tabernacle had its own particular meaning and purpose. Or we could say each piece of furniture conveyed a specific truth. First of all, to Israel, of course, to God's Old Testament people, but also still to us as His New Testament people. Because what God taught by means of the tabernacle were really eternal truths, truths that were central in the gospel that He has revealed to us. Yes, ultimately, as we've noted, they point to Christ and are fulfilled in Christ. The tabernacle shows us how we're saved by Christ and how we must respond to His redeeming work. And so we began with the altar of burnt offering, you recall, in the outer court where the animals were slain and grain offerings were burned, pointing ahead to the sacrifice that Jesus Christ would one day make for our sins by His death on the cross. And then we looked at the bronze basin where the priests had to wash themselves before entering into the holy place. And that act symbolized that even though we may be justified by grace, we must also be sanctified by God's Spirit, because unless we are forgiven and cleansed, we cannot be used by God for His service. And then we entered into the holy place itself, and we saw there the table of bread standing on one side, which spoke of God's sustenance, His provision for His people, both physically and spiritually. And on the other side of the holy place, opposite that table of bread, stood the gold lampstand, which you may recall from last Sunday, points ahead to Christ, our true light, the one who's given us the light of salvation, as well as pointing to the Holy Spirit, who has anointed us so that we can also be lights in this world, that we too might burn like lamps on the lampstand with our testimony and deeds of faith. But now this morning, we still find ourselves in the holy place and come to a third object there called the altar of incense. Let's first of all consider a moment the pattern of this altar, what it looked like. And then we should note the purpose for this altar, what was done on it and by whom. And then finally, we should observe the position of this altar, that is, where exactly it stood and what that meant. Well, first of all, then, we ask, what kind of altar was this altar of incense? What did it look like? And, well, you might take just a quick look at the diagram of it on the sermon outline in your bulletin today. That gives you a rough idea of what it looked like. We find the instructions for the construction of this altar in Exodus 30. God there said to Moses in verse 1, "You shall make an altar on which to burn incense. You shall make it of acacia wood." So the basic material was wood from the acacia tree, which was a common tree in the Sinai desert. And then in verse 2, God gave the dimensions of this altar. "A cubit shall be its length, and the cubit its breadth, shall be square, and 2 cubits shall be its height. Its horn shall be of one piece with it." You should know by now that a cubit is about 1.5 feet. So this altar stood 2 cubits, or 3 feet tall, and it was 1 cubit, or 1.5 feet square. Actually, it was actually a rather small piece of furniture, or probably the smallest inside the tabernacle as well as outside. I'm not good at measuring, but I was looking this morning at this baptismal font to my left here, and I wouldn't be surprised if that was about the size of the altar of incense. So it wasn't very large. Of course, the room in which it stood was also not that large. That holy place was not a large room. It was 30 feet long by 15 feet wide. And certainly the altar of incense was a lot smaller than the altar of burnt offering, which stood outside in the courtyard. That was considerably larger That was 4.5 feet high and 7 feet square. And the reason for the difference in the size will become clear in just a moment. But then further, as regards the pattern of the altar of incense, we should also note that it had a rim on top with four horns on each corner, horns that were shaped like animal horns. And this entire altar was overlaid with gold. God said in verse 3, "Overlay the top and all sides and the horns with pure gold, and make a gold molding around it." And so, like the other pieces in the holy place, like that table of bread, and like that gold lampstand, this altar too was a most precious, costly, and beautiful furnishing. In this respect, it differed, of course, entirely from the altar of burnt offering, which was called also the bronze altar. Well, by contrast, the altar of incense, being overlaid with gold, is often referred to, as you heard in Revelation, to the gold altar. It was gold because it stood near to the throne of the glorious, majestic King of his people, where all is gold and glistening. And then verses 4 and 5, Exodus 3, tell us how this altar was carried and transported through the wilderness. It had two gold-covered poles inserted through rings in each side of the altar, as you can see also on the diagram. And by means of these poles, then, this altar was carried through the wilderness. Well, that's the pattern of the altar of incense. And you know that pattern teaches us something. But to understand that, we have to turn secondly then to the purpose for this altar. What was it used for, and by whom? Why did God order this altar to be built and placed in the holy place? And well, its purpose can be summed up, I think, in a very simple statement. It was used for burning incense. That purpose is stated in verses 7 and 8 of Exodus 30. Listen to what God told Moses, "And Aaron shall burn fragrant incense on it. Every morning when he dresses the lamps, he shall burn it. And when Aaron sets up the lamps at twilight, he shall burn it, a regular incense offering before the Lord throughout your generations." So every morning and evening, an offering of incense was made to the Lord. Now, do you all know what incense is? Incense is a kind of perfume which people burned. It didn't come like perfume, much perfume, I think today does, in liquid form or sold in bottles as it is today. But it was a mixture of powders which, when they burned, gave off a pleasant, fragrant smell. In the last part of Exodus 30, beginning at verse 34, God gave directions to Moses for making the incense. It was produced from certain sweet spices to which frankincense was added, and which were then blended together and then seasoned with salt. And all of that mixture produced a good-smelling, powdery incense. And then the priest would take that powdery incense and sprinkle it on hot coals that had already been placed on the altar of incense. And when that incense burned on the coals, it produced a fragrant odor, which was, as we read, pleasing to God. But now we ask, what was the idea? What was the purpose for this? You know, when I was a child, I remember I was always puzzled. Why did there have to be two altars at the tabernacle, one in the holy place and one outside in the courtyard? Why did God want two altars? But later, of course, I came to understand and realize that those altars had an entirely different function. That bronze altar of burnt offering outside was used for sacrificing animals or grain. It had to be large because large animals had to be burned on it. And its purpose was to symbolize atonement. It taught the Israelites there was only one way for them to be saved and to be reconciled to God, and that was through the shedding of blood. Their sin had to be paid for because death is the penalty for sin. In the Old Testament, God accepted slain animals for that reason. Though, of course, they could not really pay for sin. They only served to point ahead to the one and only person who could pay for our sins, namely the Lord Jesus Christ, who offered himself as a lamb on the altar of the cross. So that's what the altar of burnt offering was for. But the altar of incense was not used for animal sacrifices, but only for burning incense. That's why it only had to be relatively small. And the purpose for burning the incense was not for atonement. The sins of the people had already been paid for. The altar of incense was in the holy place. It stood there in God's dwelling and before his presence. That altar was for the saints, for those who had already been justified and sanctified. So what was its idea or purpose? It was all connected to the prayers that were offered to God. In fact, it symbolized the lifting up of those prayers or supplications or intercessions offered by God's people, offered them off to God through the priests. The incense itself represented prayer. We see that from what David wrote, for example, in Psalm 141, verse 2, where he prayed to the Lord, and we use this for our call to worship this morning, "Let my prayer be counted as incense before you, the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice." And that same idea is conveyed in the book of Revelation. We read there in chapter 5 that John had a vision of the Lamb, or Christ, taking a scroll from the Father who was sitting on his throne in heaven. And then John records there in verse 8, "And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints." So those four living creatures who were representing angels, the 24 elders representing the church of the Old and New Testament eras, were presenting to God the prayers of the people, the saints. And then in Revelation chapter 8, from which I read a few verses also this morning, John described another vision that he saw of the altar of incense standing in heaven. And John writes in verse 3, "And another angel came and stood at the altar with a gold censer, and he was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne." Notice again, the incense symbolized the prayers of all the saints. And as that incense burned on the altar of incense, it produced this fragrant smell which would rise and fill the holy place and the most holy place as well, like the prayers of God's people rising up to God. But who could lift up those prayers to God? Who could do that on the altar of incense? And, well, you remember Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist? He was a priest who once was assigned to serve in the holy place of the temple when a miracle occurred. What was it Zechariah really doing in the holy place? Well, he had been chosen that day from the lists of the priests to burn incense on the altar of incense. We read in Luke chapter 1, verse 10, "And the whole multitude of people were praying outside at the hour of incense." And so while the Jewish people were praying outside, Zacharias was inside the holy place presenting their prayers to God as a pleasing sacrifice by burning incense on the altar. And while he was doing that, you recall suddenly the angel Gabriel appeared to him with that stunning announcement that his wife Elizabeth, who was beyond childbearing years, would give birth to a special son who would become the forerunner of Christ. An announcement that Zacharias found hard to believe at that time, but was fulfilled in time. But what I just want to emphasize here this morning is only now that only the priest or the high priest could burn incense on that gold altar. You know, there was a king in Judah. You may remember this also from your history, Bible history reading, that there was once a king in Judah who foolishly once sought to perform that task. His name was King Uzziah. And he was actually a God-fearing king. But rashly and sinfully one day, Uzziah insisted on going into the holy place of the temple so he could burn incense on the gold altar. And there were some courageous priests who tried to stop the king, telling him, no, only priests are permitted to perform that duty. But Uzziah shoved them aside, and he entered into the holy place. And he would have offered incense had God not immediately struck him with leprosy. That was God's judgment on this king for his foolish act. And we read he was a leper until the day of his death. You see, only the priests could enter into the holy place and offer incense. All the people could pray, to be sure, but only the priests could, as it were, present or lift up their prayers to God. Do you know why that is? Because God was teaching his people that they needed an intermediary with God. They could not enter directly into God's sacred presence as sinners. They needed someone else to offer their prayers and supplications to God. You know, it's kind of like if you or I want to speak to the president of our nation or maybe to the governor of our state to present, let's say, a certain request to them. We can't just walk directly into their office. We would have to go through some intermediary, maybe more than one, who would then present our requests to them or maybe arrange for us to see them. But you see, all of that points to a glorious truth, people of God, made plain for us in the New Testament. We no longer have an altar of incense up front here, obviously. We no longer have priests of the kind of priests that Israel needed, persons who alone could present our prayers to God. And yet we still do need an intermediary. We still do need a priest to present our prayers to God. And you know who that is. It is our Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest in heaven. He and he alone is our great intercessor with the Father. He alone, as it were, can lift up our prayers to God the Father as a sweet-smelling sacrifice, well-pleasing to him. Yes, what that priest did in the holy place of the tabernacle pointed ahead to what Christ would one day do in the holy place of heaven. Jesus was a priest on earth, to be sure. As a priest, he offered himself as a sacrifice for sin. But he's also still our priest in heaven today. His earthly ministry was symbolized by the altar of burnt offering. But his heavenly ministry is now represented by the altar of incense. We don't need any more burnt offerings. Jesus Christ has made the once-for-all sacrifice for our sins on the cross. That was the end of his atoning ministry, his earthly ministry. But that was not the end of his ministry, because then he rose from the dead. Then he ascended into heaven. And that's where Christ now continues his priestly ministry. Now he has entered into the holy place. And what does he do there? There he offers up our prayers to God like incense. There he prays for us and presents our requests to the Father. The book of Hebrews speaks so beautifully of that heavenly ministry of our Savior. In chapter 7, verses 24 and 25, which we read, it says, "But he," that is Jesus, "holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." And Hebrews 9, verse 24 states, "For Christ has entered not into holy places made with hands, like those in the tabernacle or temple, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf." And so Hebrews 10, verses 21 and 22 urge us, since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Do you see how beautifully and clearly the altar of incense in the tabernacle pointed to Christ and was fulfilled in him? He is the priest, the great high priest, who presents your and my prayers to God. We don't have to go through earthly priests to pray to God today. We only have to go through that heavenly priest, God's own Son, our Savior, because he is the only mediator and our intercessor with the Father. And what a privilege it is that we can offer our prayers each day again through Christ, so that like incense, he might lift them up as a sweet-smelling aroma before the Lord. For one thing, Christ is a sympathetic high priest. He was once tempted, as we are still tempted. He suffered, as we also must suffer. He knows our every need. He's experienced our pain and our trial. As Hebrews 4, verse 15 says so comfortingly, we do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin. And therefore, continues verse 16, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And then always remember, too, that this high priest, our Lord Jesus, is the Almighty King and the sovereign at God's right hand. He has all the power to do whatever is good for us and to fulfill all of our needs. This is the high priest who now presents the incense of our prayers to God. And well, that brings me lastly to our third point this morning, and that is the position of the altar of incense. We've looked at its pattern and its purpose, but we should not fail to note its location in the holy place. Where exactly did it stand? And we ask that because that has special significance also. Let's return just a moment to Exodus 30, to verse 6. God told Moses there, and you shall put it in front of the veil that is above the ark of the testimony, in front of the mercy seat that is above the testimony, where I will meet with you. So the altar of incense stood as close as anything could be in the holy place to the most holy place, the Holy of Holies. It stood right in front of that curtain, that veil, behind which stood the ark of the testimony with the mercy seat on top of it. In fact, the writer of Hebrews chapter 9, verses 3 and 4 says that the altar of incense also stood in the most holy place where the ark stood. And you know, that's always sort of a puzzling text there that seems to contradict what we read in the book of Exodus. What the writer of Hebrews meant to say, I think, was that this altar was so closely connected to the most holy place that it appeared to be a part of it. Because it stood right there in front of the veil, which when it were pushed aside for even a moment, opened up into the most holy place and led directly into the most holy presence of God. One could not get closer to God's throne room than where the altar of incense stood. You see, that's also how it is with our prayers. I began by saying this morning how important sincere prayer is and that we should strive to practice it faithfully. Let me end this morning by noting why prayer is such a singular privilege and blessing. It's this, because when we pray here on earth, we are as close as possible to the most holy presence of God. In prayer, we come as near to the heart of God, as any person can ever come. Someone put it like this, we are never closer to God than when we are on our knees. Because prayer brings us into the very throne room of the Almighty God, where He lives in all of His glory. And in fact, there isn't even a curtain anymore before that throne room of God. Christ is the curtain. And through Him, we can come directly to God. Every single Christian, from the smallest child here to the oldest saint here, every single one of us can come at any time, right into the presence of God and have a personal audience with Him. The only one we must go through is the Son of God Himself, our Savior, who sits at the right hand of the Father. So what an immense privilege it is to pray to God, to praise Him, to confess our sins to Him, to offer our thanks to Him, to present our supplications to Him. And let's not neglect, dear people of God, to burn that incense of prayers regularly before God, morning and evening. We need to pray for our families. We need to pray for our spouses and for our children and for grandchildren and for our parents. We need to pray for our church, for our fellow believers and friends, indeed for God's people throughout the world, that God may supply their needs and sustain them in their trials, that they may receive grace and strength in their time of need. We need to pray for lost sinners, be they our neighbors or our fellow workers or our friends or even family members who have not believed and committed their hearts to the Lord. We must be strong intercessors who will enter into the holy place and offer our incense like priests with our supplications to God. And may those prayers ever be a sweet-smelling aroma before Him. For when we offer our prayers to God, then surely He will hear us and answer us. Not always maybe the way we desire or the way we might want, but always according to His perfect wisdom and mercy and grace. He will give us the best answer that we need. For as James writes in his letter, chapter 5, verse 16, the prayer of the righteous person has great power in its working. Amen. Let's pray. Lord our God, thank You that we can enter into Your presence directly as Your servants, as Your priests today. And that we can there offer to You our prayers through Him, our blessed Savior at Your right hand, our intercessor with You, our Father, who can lift up and will lift up our prayers to You like a sweet-smelling incense, pleasing to You. Lord God, we recognize that oftentimes our prayers are not sincere or they're quickly offered without thought. And we ask for Your forgiveness for those times, and we have not been mindful of that wonderful privilege to speak to You earnestly in prayer. And Lord, if there are any of us here that have dropped this habit and are no longer on their knees, we pray that You will once again put us on our knees, that You will help us, O Lord, to pray to You fervently and daily for all our needs, not only but also for those around us as we make supplication for them in their needs, and also for Your praise and for Your glory and for confessing our sins before You, that You might indeed receive us, and that You might forgive us, and that You might indeed answer our prayers according to Your love and goodness. Thank You, Lord God, that You've invited us to do so at all times, in all places. Lord, hear this prayer we offer this morning as Your people. In Jesus' name, amen.